Hi. All right. I'm settled. My name is Marcella. I'm a grateful believer, struggling with resentments, but have victory over nicotine addiction. Hey. Okay. Lesson two. This lesson is titled Powerless. You'll see that in the handout. Principle one is what we're working with, and it says, realize I am not God. I am powerless to admit I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those who know they are spiritually poor. Then in step one, we admitted that we were powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors and that our lives had become unmanageable. And I love this verse from Romans 7:8. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. So that problem's about 2,000 years old, in case anybody thought they were the only ones walking with that. Nope. Already, we're together. So if you could get there on your own, wouldn't you already be there? Right? Haven't you been efforting all your life to make your life turn out? I mean, let's be honest, your best thinking got you right here tonight. And me too. I'm talking to you, fellow addicts. Control of substance abuse of any sort is an illusion. In my case, it was a smokescreen. If I have one drag on a cigarette at any time, I know I will go back to smoking all day, every day. It will run my life. I know it. I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing. But don't be smug, you non-addicts out there. This applies to you too. Food, sex, relationship addicts, rageaholics, anything that is the wrong thing that you compulsively do over and over, well, welcome to the club. We've been waiting for you. But also, a word to those of you who think they are only here to support someone else in your life. Yes, this applies to you, too. Possibly the codependent, the one who quietly supports others. A poke at my dear friends. Do you say yes when you should say no? Do you keep having the same kind of interactions with people in your life over and over as if you are on a hamster wheel? It is easy to look at someone who is broken in an overtly self-destructive way and think, well, it's them. I'm just reacting to their whatever lunacy. But I can promise you there is freedom for you here too. There is freedom from having the same old buttons pushed. There is freedom from the burden of over-yessing all over your life. Do you do that? Yes. Oh, wait. Yes again. Oh, wait a minute. You want to take it back after you've said it, right? I do. I know if anyone's like me. Because here's the thing. Taking your life to the next level is for anyone who is vertical and has a heartbeat. Because your next level doesn't have anything to do with how many levels up or down from you anyone else in your life is. So hear this message for yourself tonight. Let God's divine plan apply to you because it applies to you. When you admit that you are not God, that you are unable to control your tendency to do the wrong thing or to help someone else control their tendency to do the wrong thing, and that your life is unmanageable, freedom will follow. Freedom will follow that. When you become ready to let go of one trapeze bar in order to catch another, when you can swing from the fences, hoo-wee, life is about to get juicy. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. So I arrived at lesson two here a few years back. I was addicted to cigarettes. Control, blame. I was an overwhelmed perfectionist, control freak. Occasionally, I was a victim-y complainer. I was angry and resentful. Of course, just before arriving here, I was fine, just fine, thank you. But I had four kids under 5 years old. I had just watched my beloved mother die by inches from cancer. My husband was working day and night to support us. I'd had to close my business and lost my income, and I felt disconnected and very, very alone. The wheels had started coming off my I can control this program, and I must say, I was pretty relieved to find out there was a place I could come and not be judged for being all jacked up. I was also relieved when I found out that I didn't have to do everything myself, that I am not God. Oh, thank God. Oh, it wasn't even actually my job to fix everything and make it perfect. God informed me that my job was humble servant. Of course, my pride choked on that a little bit. I mean, excuse me, humble servant? I think I'm a little more important than that. I mean, just look at me. Look at my big, important life. But when you've done lesson one last week, you've looked at denial, and you're looking at what's really there. Well, when I really looked at what was real versus my outer mask, well, things weren't actually looking that good. I was drowning in have-tos and resentments and addiction and anger. But hey, I'm fun, my pride said. And cute, she added, and smart. That pride. And then God took me aside and said to me, yep, listen, humble servant, if you are so smart, you should be able to read a basic job description, right? I sent you a book of instructions. You are to wash the feet of friends and others. You are to use your gifts to serve others. I sent a living example to you. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. In fact, Jesus says of himself, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Matthew 28:29. Oh, I forgot the book on there. I mean, if it's good enough for my son, he said to me, is it so far above you? And my heart broke wide open. I found what I had cried out for in my pain, a way to break the chains and the bondage. The key for me, the key for us all, is humility. And my soul took a deep breath, said, thank you. Proverbs 29:23 says to us, pride ends in a fall, while humility brings honor. So tonight's acrostic starts with P, and the P stands for pride, which we just talked about. So let's look at the rest of these letters. They are all links in a chain, links in the chains that bind us and keep us from serenity. We call them the serenity robbers. So the next one is the O, and that is only ifs. Or if onlys, if you're not trying to fit it into an acrostic. Luke 12:3 says, so then whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in broad daylight. So here's the thing. You cannot steer the ship when you are looking out the back. Right? You're going to have a problem there. If onlys are like trying to steer the ship at the back, right? They're living in the past. Well, they're not living in the past. They're wishing you could live in the past and try and change the future, but looking this way. We're talking about a new moment here, friends. God is guiding you, turn left, turn right, and you're looking backwards. You may be consumed with fear. He says, turn right, and you go, oh, no, heartbreak. That's heartbreak over there. And he goes, hey, turn whichever way is my left, turn the other way. And then I say, no, there's shame that way. I can't go that way. And I'm paralyzed with fear, unable to follow the leading. We just need to turn around. We just need to turn around and face the front of the boat. And let's get a piece of ocean we have never seen before in front of our eyes. Let's let him deliver us a new moment. Leave the if-onlys in the past where they belong. So you need to just look to the past, inform, you know, we use the past to inform ourselves, but we really just need to look at it and go, that's what happened. So that's what. So what? Now what? Now what is your power back? It's the forward motion. So the next one is the W in the word, and that stands for worry. Worry. Matthew 6:34 says, "Do not be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time." We've heard that phrase around here before, haven't we? So you have to give up on the lie that you are doing something useful when you're worrying. That it means I truly care about you. I love you, so I worry. It's my job to worry about you. Worry keeps you powerless. Worry keeps you stationary because it all happens in your mind. When you realize that you're not God, then you can stop responsibility stealing from him and follow his lead. Let him do his job. Your job, my job, is to surrender to his will and with gratitude and thanksgiving, follow his lead. You don't have to worry. When you have taken the time in prayer and meditation to receive his guidance on where to go and what to do, you will gain confidence in making choices. The next letter is the E, and it's for escape. Escape, the primary language of the addict. Create distance, get numb, don't feel it, hide, disappear. We talk a lot here about taking life on life's terms. This is only possible if you come out of the dark and step into the light. Forgive my use of the story of another. Her story is public, I promise you. You can find it on TED. And it beautifully illustrates the hope in calling off our escape and stepping into the light. My favorite writer, Glennon Doyle Melton, describes her feelings and her redemption as an alcoholic, bulimic drug addict in this way. She says, "The sun rose every day and she started binging and purging. Then the night came and she drank herself stupid," her words. "The sunrise is the signal to get up, but to her it was the signal to come down from the booze and the boys and the drugs. But that was to be avoided at all costs. So she'd close up the blinds, put the pillow over her head, and her brain would torture her all day about the people going out into the day to make relationships, pursue their dreams, and have a day. She had no day. She only had night. And these days, when she talks about it, she likes to think of the sun as hope. And that sunrise comes out every single day to shine equally on everybody, the sinners and the saints and the druggies and the cheerleaders. It never withholds and it doesn't judge. If you spend your entire life in the dark, and then one day you just decide you want to come out, it will be there waiting for you, just waiting to warm you." For years, she thought of sunrises as searching and accusatory and judgmental, but it wasn't. It was hope's daily invitation to come back to life. If you still have a day, if you're still alive, you are still invited. Ephesians 5:13 and 14 tells us, "For light is capable of showing up everything for what it is. It is even possible for light to turn the thing it shines upon into light also. So if you think you are walking darkness, have no fear. Have hope. God's light can transform you." Next, we move to the R in resentment, the next link in our chain. "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold." Ephesians 4:26-27. So I have been telling myself a lie for years. I've had this misperception about how I really am, and I'm surprised at my lack of self-awareness, frankly. I like to think of myself as pretty self-aware, but I've had this belief that I'm a real go-along, easygoing type gal. Come to find out, I am not. I'm rather rigid about some things. I would always say, I'm not a grudge holder. Now, I don't know why or when it became so important to me to identify myself this way, but I did. I'd say, well, I get really big mad, but I get over it right away. Except that I don't. Indeed, I am not at all afraid to just hold on to some perceived injustices for ages and ages. In fact, I'm like the FBI. I've got dossiers on people who've wronged me. And their name just needs to come up. I just whip that out like, oh, let me tell you, oh, that person, let me tell you what kind of person that person is. This is what they did to me. Not a grudge holder, right? So I had just gone along believing this lie that I'm not a grudge holder until I uncovered and uncovered and worked the steps over and over again. This round will be my fifth time in big group. Then a person in my family relapsed, and that was a big trigger for me. Suddenly, a flood of resentments pressed on my heart. They were caught in my throat. They were in my nose. I felt like I couldn't breathe. A saying that I've heard really crystallized the futility of holding on to resentments, and I love it. Here it is. Holding on to resentments is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. I wasn't hurting the other person. I was only hurting myself by holding on to this stuff. I had to become willing to see their actions from a different perspective, not my dossier of wrongs, in order to shift my perception and release the resentment. To see that God loves them too. He thinks they're a treasure too. My work isn't done, but I know how to break free. And I just pray and pray to be purified in heart and have my perception shifted. Next, we'll deal with loneliness. That's the L. Don't forget to be kind to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. Hebrews 13:2. Whatever you want, give it away. If you are lonely, seek out people. There are 5 million clubs, groups, churches, classes, nonprofits to volunteer for. If you are lonely, give your attention to others, shower them with love, and watch how your life is transformed. Did you know the golden rule is in the Bible? Do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31. I was an adult when I found that out. I heard it all my life. I just love it. Like God invented the golden rule, you know? And it makes sense, right? It makes sense. Give away to others that which you most desire to receive. It works. That is one reason that we're so committed to service here and other recovery programs. If you've been here for 5 minutes, we've got a job for you. Come early, set up, stay late, clean up, wash dishes, make coffee. Plug in. Plug into life and watch God work some miracles for you. Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you." Next is emptiness. That's the E. Do you feel empty inside? Have you experienced loss or many losses? Does it seem like your life has no purpose? Has your compulsive behavior taken over and pushed all of the things out that you had lived for? Family, career, dreams. How many links in your chain are made up of emptiness? I can remember giving so much for so long. I felt wrung dry. Like an old sponge, like just a shell of who I used to be. So how do we defeat emptiness? How do we fill ourselves back in with something other than addiction and compulsive behaviors and the like? Do something you love. Anything. It doesn't matter. You can't think of something? Think back to being a kid. Did you like to draw? Then draw something every day. Just something joyful. Do you like to read, walk in nature, tinker, buy a model car and put it together? Take a walk every day. Just start doing one thing you love. And go from there. See what God opens up for you. When I look back at feeling so empty and wrung dry, I remember sitting on my friend's dock out down by the river. I would take a book, whatever I was reading, and go and sit near the water. My soul was restored over and over sitting down there. Was really the only enjoyable thing I had going on for a good long time. It was a happy place, and slowly, coupled with other work here on Wednesdays and step study, I began to replace the emptiness with purpose and joy. Jesus said, "My purpose is to give life in all its fullness," in John 10:10. Next, selfishness. That's the S, selfishness. Luke 17:33 says, "Whoever clings to his life shall not lose it, or shall lose it, and whoever loses his life shall save it." So how many of you here want to be happy? Right? Me too. Well, I got to tell you, a selfish, self-centered person, not a happy person, not the recipe for happiness. Clinging on to selfishness is really a recipe for misery each and every day. Focusing on what you don't want, what you don't have, how you've been done wrong, will just keep misery right in front of your face. It'll just fill up your mind. Now, it's not that you don't have legitimate problems, that they aren't real. I'm not suggesting you go back to denial and act like everything's just fine when it isn't. I'm saying do the work on your issues when it's time to do the work. But unless you're in a monastery doing prayer and meditation 24 hours a day, you got some time left over. Making life better in some way for someone else, rather than belly aching about your own problems, will help you and them. Life is bigger than you. Life is bigger than me. Get out there and find someone to help. Someone who needs you to smile at them, or needs a hug, or a kind word, or a few dollars. Focus out. Focus out. When you get focused out, then you are a solution just waiting to happen. Just wait and see how God can work with that. Just see who he sends your way. You'll sleep well at night when you know you've genuinely helped someone that day. Last one, separation. S is for separation. Nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. Romans 8:39. Separation is an illusion. We are all one. We are all one with God. We are all one with each other. Differences of color, creed, and status are of no consequence to God. He is not rating us by who has done more wrong or less. He is not keeping score. Jesus gave his life for us to demonstrate the grandness of his divine love, his powerful, all-encompassing love. It is for us all. Which means there is no us versus them. There is only we. This is a chain we can snap like that. We need only to recognize and accept. So as we close tonight, I invite you to close your eyes and let's listen together to this song.
I used to live my life in fear. Was worried all the time, from waking up to laying down, I had no peace of mind. The world became a darkened place, a struggle without end. Although bitter times those were, the days that I had begun to understand, I was only a man. I grew up singing songs in church with questions in my mind, then turned my back and ran away from God who gave me life. Then one night his presence fell, I wept and shook, and then I fell down and cried, "Dear Jesus, rescue me again." I understand, I am only a man. And he said, "What will it be now? Will you choose me or keep swimming upstream now? I've been inside your head, hearing you scream out. at your feet. Just promise you won't leave.
I'll never leave.
So where do I go from here, Lord?
Just follow me. Just follow me.
I follow you.
Just follow me.
Father, just, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, just give us the courage to move forward. Lift these chains from us. Bring your light into our lives. Purify us, Lord. Give us the strength to put one foot in front of the other. We know that you want our good. We just know that if we surrender our will to you, Jesus, you will make us whole again. And in gratitude, we all say, amen. Thank you.